The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's travel the world together. She can make it easy and in any kind of weather. No TSA, no bag checks, no patting down. She's talking from the skies and sending lots of feel-good sounds. Oh, Betty in the sky, have you heard her yet? She loves traveling, there's no doubt. Betty and the Jets. She's weird and wonderful. Oh, Betty, she's a podcast queen. She's wearing high heel shoes, got her wings on too. You know I've never seen a better stew. Oh, Betty and the Jets.
Hello and welcome to Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Betty. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I bring you stories from the flight attendants and the pilots and from traveling around the world. In this episode, we have stories about a turtle, a lost bear, a mad dog, bad smells, an orgasm, a dead guy, and a dirty butt. The music for this show is a street performer, is a handicapped man in a wheelchair on the streets of Amsterdam. Let's get on with the show. So I was flying with this really nice French speaker, and she was so nice. She gave me this French butter, and I go to Paris all the time, and I didn't know that you were supposed to buy the butter over there with sea salt. It's delicious, especially with like fish or vegetables. Woohoo! Anyway, she was telling me this story, but she didn't want to be recorded. So she was saying that on her way to Paris one day, there was a young girl in the bathroom who rang her call bell in the bathroom, which we always hate because, you know, it's never good when somebody needs help in the bathroom. So she goes and knocks on the door, and she's like, I had to throw up, and I have some clothes in my suitcase. So she said what row and seat she was in, and she's like, can you go and get my suitcase so I can change clothes because I had throw up all over my clothes. And I think there's throw up in the seat. So this flight attendant's like, oh, great. Great day at the office. So she goes to get the clothes, and then she sees, ooh, there's a whole circle of puke on the girl's seat, and then there's a guy sleeping on the aisle. And she was thinking, he didn't notice a girl throwing up, or how did the girl get out? Did she climb over him? She didn't know, but she figured she needed to clean up the puke in the seat. And then she's got the naked girl in the bathroom. And just then she sees a commotion and another lady has passed out. And she's thinking, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Helping the throw up lady, cleaning up the throw up. I got the woman passing out. Wah! So eventually, she went to the woman passing out, considering that was her priority. It turned out she was okay. It's probably Ambien or who knows what, but she's not having a medical emergency. So now she's like, okay, back to the puke. So she goes back and she's got some gloves on and, you know, she's got some vodka to help sanitize the area, some yellow Z. Anyway, she's going to clean this up. And then she thinks, well, I can't get to the puke unless I wake up the sleeping guy in the aisle. So she wakes up the sleeping guy in the aisle and says, hey, I need you to get up. And he's like, why? And she points and he was like, oh. I think she even used her flashlight. It's dark in the cabin. It's night. So she used her flashlight, and then he's like, oh. So he gets up, and then as he gets up, she notices that there's some puke in his seat. So that means that he had been sitting in and sleeping while he was sitting in puke. She wasn't sure how it got there. Maybe he got up when she got out and then went to sleep after there was puke next to him. Anyway, she didn't know. You know, no time to ask this. She still got the naked girl in the bathroom. But she thought, I'll clean up the puke, get the clothes for the naked girl. You know, whew. She cleans up the puke, gets the clothes for the naked girl, but she's still thinking to her, and she cleans up the other guy's seat, but she's thinking now, you know, he's probably got puke on his pants. So she gets the girl now who's changing in the bathroom. And now the guy is coming back to his seat, and he said, I think I have a problem. And she's like, no, I'm thinking you have a problem. He said, I think I have something on my pants. And she's thinking, no, you got something on your pants. So she goes and gets him some towels and things, and he comes back to her in the galley and says, hey, I can't see it. Can you help me? I need to get this off my pants. And so she's like, all right. Now she's thinking, okay, well, how am I going to do this? So it's dark in the cabin. She doesn't want to turn on all the lights. So she said, how about if you stand in the bathroom, and we'll turn on the light in there, and I'll try to clean up your pants. So now she said it had to look bad, because here is a guy in a bathroom, and she bent down on her knees, basically, to try to get the stuff off his pants. So she's wiping. So her hand movement, she was afraid that the hand movement looked like maybe she was doing something else to the guy in the bathroom. An all-night flight. She's like, oh, this all looks so bad. I was flying with a heavyset male flight attendant, and he was telling me on the jump seat that he was in China in an airport with a fellow male flight attendant who was very senior, and they saw this beautiful Cathay Pacific cabin crew. So they you know, their outfits, they're all so young, you know, their waists are like 18 inches around, and ended up taking the same van to a hotel, and the one girl who spoke some English said, you cabin crew? And he's like, yes. And she said, cabin crew? And he's like, yes. And she goes, but you so big. And then she turns to his fellow senior flight attendant, and she goes, you cabin crew? And he's like, yes, cabin crew? He says, yes. And she goes, you so old. Oh, my goodness.
So we were going to Lima, and I was at the boarding door. I wasn't A-line on the trip, but I was at the boarding door, and this elderly woman came on with her husband in an aisle chair.
Right.
And he didn't look very good.
Right.
He was actually a little ashy looking, and he didn't look very conscious.
So I said, a long time ago?
This is about 7 years ago. Yeah. So I asked her, I said, is your husband okay? And she says to me, he's depressed. And she pours cough syrup down his mouth.
Did you say he's depressed?
Depressed. And, you know, she had this whole thing on. She didn't speak a word of English, but she had the whole story memorized. And the cough syrup's going down his face, and I'm like, he don't look too good. So I said, do you have a medical release form for him? No, he's okay. And that's all she could speak. That was the end of our communication.
He's depressed.
Uh-huh. So they wheel him into his seat, pick him up out of the aisle chair, put him in the seat, and I'm like, this ain't looking good. So I went and got the A-line. And I told her, she goes, oh, well, if there's not a medical release, I said, no, you stay at the door, I'll take care of it. I went to the cockpit, and I said, I want you to take a look at this gentleman, and if you think he looks fit to travel. So the captain...
So, did you want to say, do you think he's alive, or were you just being politically correct?
I was being politically correct. So the captain came out, doesn't even step out of the cockpit. He looks, he goes, oh, no, I'm with you. Goes back in the cockpit. The guy sitting behind him is looking at me going, no. So in the meantime, I get one of the speakers. I said, could you come speak to this woman in Spanish? And she goes, oh, my God. She goes, I was in duty free. He was in that same position 6 hours ago. I said, it's rigor mortis, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
So we get the paramedics. They take him off the airplane. We're taking a 30-minute delay for this, trying to figure out. So they take him out on the stretcher. The captain calls me. He goes, is that CPR they're doing? They're banging on his chest like this, and he's going... I said, no, they're checking to see if he's got rigor mortis, and it looks like he does.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you think that's just because it's cheaper? That's why they try to do that?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Because, you know, you have to go through customs. Yes. Yeah. When you pass away in a different country, it's a big rigmarole. But it's expensive. He's depressed. And I wanted to say, well, I'd be depressed too if I were dead. But kind of held my tongue on that one. Then when we get to Lima, I got a phone call from the OCC, and all they told me was, thank you, you made the right decision. I said, oh no, that's all we can tell you. You made the right decision.
Instead of,
thank
yes,
you.
Yes, he's dead.
Yeah.
I'm excited that this episode of Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase is sponsored by AutoSlash. AutoSlash is the number one site for cheap car rentals. Renters can save 30% or more, and it's completely free. I did a little research, and I found this blog called The Art of Travel Hacking, and TJ rented an SUV in Whistler through AutoSlash, and he got it for $455, which was pretty good. But then he got emails from AutoSlash when it went down to $415, $393, $303, and he finally got it for $260. He saved almost $200. Oh gosh, I love a good travel hack because I love to save money when traveling. This way I can travel more. But what I don't love is taking the time to keep checking to see if the prices have changed. So AutoSlash does that for you. You should check it out at AutoSlash.com/Betty. AutoSlash.com/Betty. Now, I didn't know if I should tell this story because, you know, sometimes you're like, do I want to tell stories where it makes me look bad? But I've been doing it for so long, you know, why stop now? So I don't know if you guys have ever had this problem, but I live in a moist area. I'm near the beach. It's very humid. And I should know better. I've done this before, but I also don't like to iron clothes. So I had been drying clothes, and now I had an appointment. So I just stopped it midway and thought, well, I'll finish it, you know, in an hour when I get back. I ended up being gone more than an hour. So I then remember, oh, that's right, I've got the clothes in the dryer. So I start the dryer again, and then I did notice a slight smell. See, the thing is, it gets musty in there, like rank because of the wet clothes. And what I should have done is either just let them dry all the way and get wrinkled, or then rewash them. But instead, and this is the day before I'm going to work, I just thought, oh, you know, they'll be fine. I put an extra dryer sheet in there. I even put, I think, some essential oil, some lavender on the dryer sheet. And I thought, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And I hang up some of the clothes. I only, like, go halfway and I hang up because they're delicate. And the next day, I'm getting ready to go to work, and I take the same clothes basically all the time. I don't know if anybody else does this, but when you're traveling, they're just clothes that travel well. They don't wrinkle. They look nice, whatever. So as I was putting the clothes in the suitcase, I was noticing, there's a little smell. I'm thinking, oh, it'll be fine. I'll wear some perfume. It'll be fine. And I go to work. I did fine on the layover. Everything's fine in Paris. I did notice there was a little smell when I took it out. But, you know, I figure I'm not going to be in a confined space or anything. And so then on the way home, I like to change clothes when I can. I prefer not to be in my uniform. Luckily, my uniform wasn't in that load of clothes, so my uniform didn't stink, thank God. So I changed clothes. I did think about it. But I thought, well, nobody noticed, and it didn't seem bad, you know, on the layover. So I change into my clothes, and I get a seat, so I'm on the jump seat, which is good. And I'm on the aisle seat. There's a lady in the middle, and then a guy who was kind of a little bit unkempt on the window. And I'm dressed nice, you know. I've got on heels and wide-leg pants and a real cute shirt. So I look nice. this lady in the middle. Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. Oh my gosh. She stops the flight attendant and said, hey, And we're in the upgraded economy section, so I have a little more space. You pay more for those seats. She stops the flight attendant and says, hey, are there any empty seats? And the flight attendant was looking at her note thinking, well, you got a good seat. She goes, well, there might be something all the way in the back. And then this girl goes, how about over there? She points to a middle seat on the other side. And the flight attendant was like, oh, sure. So she gets up, goes over there, and I hear her say to the other passengers where she just moved, and she said, that guy over there really smelled. And I was thinking, it's not the guy. It's me. I stink. She assumed it wasn't me because I look nice, but it was me. I stunk. Oh, somebody moved because I stunk.
Okay, so something happened on your flight?
Yes, coming from Amsterdam the other day, we had a young gentleman who came up to us and asked if we could help him. And we said, sure, what can we help you with? I want to propose to my fiancé.
Oh.
So we came up with this whole plan. He picked out her favorite song, which is Ed Sheeran, and Beautiful by Ed Sheeran.
Oh.
And so we downloaded it. He downloaded it on his iTunes. And when it was time for the proposal, we came up with this whole plan.
Is this like during flight?
This is during the flight. So we did it right before landing.
Right.
You know. And so he came up to first class, and then we played the Ed Sheeran song over the PA. And then he walked down the aisle with the ring in his hand, and I'm going to cry just talking about it. And then he bent down on one knee and asked her to marry him. And we had the whole airplane clapping.
So nice.
And then we had the whole crew involved, and we brought them a bottle of champagne. And
how nice.
It's really heartwarming.
Yeah, this is nice. They'll get everyone involved in a happy occasion.
The whole crew, all the passengers.
And the plane. How nice.
It was really fun.
This flight attendant told me this funny story, but you know, it's one of those stories that I only kind of like because I don't like when flight attendants get a little, I don't like when it's too snarky. But anyway, it was a good story. She said that, I barely remember it. I can't remember how long ago this was, where you used to be able to bring 3 bags and they changed it to 2. So when they did that, there was a big problem with all of the people thinking they could bring 3, and we had to keep telling them they could only have 2. So there was a guy, and he was just so mad at this flight attendant. He was like in her face, and he was so mad and saying, you know, I don't know, you might not want to check this. I might not check this. And then he said, I'm going to take it to the back, and I promise I'll bring the other one back up, which of course he didn't. So she went back there to tell him he had to check that 3rd bag. She was just trying to do what she was supposed to do. And this guy was just angry, angry, angry. So when he was getting off the plane, he came up and got his finger in her face and he said, oh gosh, I can't imagine someone saying this to me, but he said, you need to have an orgasm sometime soon. And she said, I had a little orgasm when I checked your bag. I'd like to thank any of you who were so kind when you were going to buy something on Amazon by going to my website first or have it bookmarked at bettyinthesky.com. And you just still buy your items on Amazon and it doesn't cost you any more. It supports the show. And I like to see what people buy. You know, you could buy some lavender oil so your clothes don't stink so passengers won't move because they don't want to sit next to you. Somebody bought How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful, and Mating in Captivity, Unlocking Erotic Intelligence. It's interesting. So if you want to support the show, go to bettyinthesky.com. Doesn't cost you any more. And I have had some hiccups with the audiobook for The Tar Maker. So hopefully it should be coming out soon, but it is still not out yet. You can always check out the first audiobook, Tar, or the 2 ebooks from the Tar collection. They're like 99 cents. Anyway, thank you so much for going to Amazon and going to bettyinthesky.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This girl was telling me this story. She was commuting home in her uniform, and she got a window seat, excited about, you know, getting a nap on the way home. And a family boarded after her, and they were all sort of separated in center seats. And this little boy, like 6 years old, was sitting next to her, and she could tell maybe a little tear in his eye. Anyway, he didn't like the idea of not sitting near his parents. So being nice, she said, hey, you know what? I'll move, and then this way you can sit with your dad. So then 2 rows of people had to get up to move around. And so the dad says, you need to thank this nice lady for moving seats. So the little boy said, thank you for moving this MD-88 Mad Dog seat. I'll just back up a minute. The MD-88, I don't know why people call it a Mad Dog. I've asked people. The only reason is because McDonnell Douglas makes it. So that's MD Mad Dog. But everybody seems to call it that. And so this little boy said, I want to thank you for changing this MD-88 Mad Dog seat. And he said, my daddy flies Mad Dogs. And he goes, but I got one question. I don't understand why these MD-88 Mad Dogs are always so mad. And so this flight attendant said, oh, well, they're just like any other dogs. You have to be nice to it and pet it and train it. And then the dog will be nice. And so he said, Daddy, you need to let this lady fly the MD-88s because her dogs are nice.
You know, you see a lot of people come on the airplane with stuffed animals. Not just children, but adults too. But in any case, I'm particular, how do you say, enamored of stuffed animals because I don't have any children. So in the Amsterdam airport, in the beginning of December, I come off the passport control line, and there are these two big copper statues. They're kind of funky.
They look like stuffed animals sitting down.
Okay, but they're like... Yeah. Little boys or something sitting down. Yeah. Everybody takes their picture there. So I come.
They're kind of fat.
They're
rotund.
Fluffy, but
yes.
Made out of metal.
Yes.
Go figure. So so I come up to the statue and I see a family packing up their children and there's a little bear on the floor, a little stuffed teddy bear. I say, oh, don't forget your bear. And they say, oh, that's not ours. That was here.
Oh.
So, of course, I pick it up because you can't just leave it lying there. Poor little guy, face down.
Wait, so you adopted this bear in Amsterdam?
Well, I rescued him from lying face down on the floor and I carried him through the airport. Hoping somebody would say, oh, there's my bear, but they didn't. Texted it to my husband, and I said, I'm bringing this little guy home, so tell the rest of our fuzzy family that...
How big is your fuzzy family?
I think there's 8, but if you count the otters, Abalone, Jones, Eddie, and Squeaky, and Mom, there's 6 otters, so...
There's 6 otters.
So, I sent him the picture, this little...
Did you have to get an approval?
No, I just wanted him to prepare the family that we were going to have an addition. So I get home, I wash the bear because who knows what germs are on it, you know. And it's a little stiff bear, just a darling little thing. And you could tell it had been loved because both of his feet were going in one direction. And so he researches, he's a night owl, and he finds online a website where people post lost and found items.
Oh my gosh, he's going to post the rescued bear.
Which he does. Apparently it's a website you post jewelry or electronics, just all kinds of things. I don't know the name of it, but I should anyway. He posts it. So then the next week I go to Amsterdam again, and the woman comes on the plane with a bunch of stuffed animals. And I said, now don't lose those, because I found this little bear, and he's at home with me now, but he's the lost little bear. She says, oh, you need to go on this website called Amsterdam Mamas, and he'll be found. I said, well, I don't know if it's from Amsterdam, because we connect to all over in the world. So I go home, I tell my husband, you have to do that posting. He says, okay. He has to request a friend. They want to know why this man wants to be an Amsterdam Mama. So in any case, here it is, the 29th of December, and we wake up in the morning. He says, what time is it? I said, it's 10 to 7. He says, it's 10 to 7 on Wednesday, and I know where our bear belongs.
Really?
Yeah.
He found the owner?
The mother found the posting. She had not stopped looking for that bear.
Really?
She had called Lost and Found several times in the Amsterdam airport, but I didn't want to give it to an agent to bring.
Right.
Because I've seen people just throw them away.
Yeah.
They think, oh, this is filthy, full of germs,
dirt.
Who cares? Yeah,
trash.
Yeah, exactly. To me, no, this was a loved little bear. Oh my gosh. So she now is texting him, emailing him. unfortunately, she was leaving the States the following day to go back to Hamburg, Germany, with her six-year-old daughter, who had had that bear since she was a baby.
Her whole life.
So he sent a picture of the bear sitting in our chair. And at the, now at this point, he's wearing a ribbon. Everybody in my fuzzy family wears a little ribbon. They were so thrilled. His name is... He found a home. Well, they found him back.
Yes.
His name is Happy.
Aww. Look how happy you made people.
Right. So I go to FedEx because we get a huge discount. Yeah. And I ship the bear to Hamburg. But I include one of my family members. It's a bear that wears bunny ears.
You're giving up one.
Uh-huh. This bear wears bunny slippers and has bunny ears. And we just always called her Bunny Bear. So this way he didn't have to travel alone. But I was shopping in the grocery store after Christmas. Everything's on sale. And I go look at the sale racks. And here they have something that's meant to go over a wine bottle, like a gift sack.
Yeah.
It's a Santa coat. And I bought it, and it fit that little bear perfectly. So then I wrote a letter to the little girl.
Wait, so you sent it in a Santa coat?
Uh-huh. I put him in a Santa coat, and I put him with the bear and the bunny ears, and I wrote a letter from Happy to the little girl saying how he had spent his Christmas vacation, that he'd had a bath, and then he was in the Florida sun, and he went home via Santa, so that's why he got the coat. She's six, you know?
Yes.
So here's a letter from...
She'll remember it forever.
So the lady, she was so, so grateful, and we were happy that... Yeah. He found his little girl back. So then we said the only thing we want in return is to have a picture of her reunited with her her bear. And in fact, they sent us a video of the little girl opening the box. And she was so excited when she saw him. And then she unpacked his ribbon. She says, oh, look, his bow. So the little... girl had that bear since she was a baby.
Right.
And when the mother wrote me a thank you card, she said that she was so very grateful because when the little girl had found out she lost the bear, she said her heart would never stop hurting.
Until you
saved her bear.
You saved her heart.
And now we're all happy. And he's clean.
I'm excited that I got a email from USA Today, and they're doing a travel segment on April 31st, and they wanted to put me as one of the best travel podcasts, which is great. And I found it curious or interesting or ironic that they asked for someone on my team to get back to them. I'm thinking, yeah, that team consists of one, me, moi. You know, I don't have an editor or a producer or I don't have anybody. So yes, that team of me got back to them. Okay, so I was working over the Easter holiday. I could have probably held it off. I actually, when I was bidding, forgot it was Easter. It's fine. It's not like I had a big Easter egg hunt to attend or anything. So I leave for work on a Friday and I get to the airport and I always have a few hours to kill, so I'm doing some stuff on the computer. And now at work, we have an actual mailbox. It's like just a file folder with everybody's name, which there's almost never anything in there anymore because everything comes by email or some other digital communication. So I get to the point where lots of times I don't even check it because there's never, ever anything in there. So I'd been at the airport for maybe 2 hours where I thought, oh, I guess I'll go check the mailbox, even though there's nothing in it. And so, to my surprise, there's an envelope and it says Happy Easter. And I was kind of like, what? I had an Easter present? How exciting. So, I'm going to back up and talk a little bit about a trip that I had a couple months ago with this nice guy. I've flown with him before. We've always been friendly. He has this great laugh, one of those laughs that you just have to laugh when he laughs. He's just a nice guy. That trip that I was working, we happened to work in the same cabin and the same
break. So we basically spent 2 days together. And I noticed on a rotation, we have a rotation that has everybody's names. And I guess I never noticed before that his middle name was Herman. So then, because I'd been telling stories, you know, like I want to do. And I was like, oh, hey, I see your middle name's Herman. I got a great story about a Herman. And then I told him my Herman the Turtle story. And I most of you, I don't know, a lot of you probably already heard it, but I'm just going to recap the highlights. So I'm like, okay, so there's this nice flight attendant, and she's walking through the cabin on a domestic flight, and she sees something on the window. So she goes over, and she's like, ma'am, what is that on the window? Because it was a turtle, a real-life turtle with suction cup booties on its hands and feet, spread eagle stuck to the window. And the lady goes, oh, this is my pet turtle, Herman. He likes to look out the window and I take him everywhere with me. And she's like, oh, well, with all due respect, how do you know that he likes to look out the window? Because she was thinking, poor Herman is stuck there, you know, thinking he might be thinking, whoa! You know, he might be scared. Or I don't know if most people want to be stuck spread eagle to a window. She didn't say that, but this is what she's thinking. So she made the lady put it in a bag. She could have outed her. You're not allowed to have a turtle. So, but she just told her to put it away. She's such a nice flight attendant. Anyway, I'm flying and I like to tell stories. So then my next trip, I'm telling the people in first class that I'm working with all about Herman. So the next day, we're in London. We get on the van. It's early. It's usually when everybody's quiet. They get on the van, and the first thing this flight attendant says, and I hadn't told the people in coach. So basically, I've told 4 of the 8 people on the crew about Herman. And so we get on the van, and the flight attendant goes, first thing, you know, I could not sleep last night because I kept thinking about Herman. And I was thinking, you can't buy suction cup booties that fit turtles. So she had to make these. And how many versions of them did she have to make? And how many times did poor Herman slide off the window? And the other flight attendant said, I was thinking about Herman too. And I was thinking, what happens when he has to go to the bathroom? He just pees down the window. And the other flight attendant said, I was thinking about Herman too. And I was thinking, how does she get the arms and the legs out of the shell? Does she have to use tweezers? And just then, the flight attendant who's been in coach, who had been coach, hadn't heard this, says, what the hell are you people talking about? You got tweezers and suction cups and booties and peeing down windows? It really all sounded crazy. So I tell then the whole bus about Herman. And the pilots are in the back of the bus. I don't know why they tend to always, maybe we talk too much. I don't know. They usually sit in the back of the bus, and they weren't pilots we had flown over with. So we are in London. So we get out of the bus. We have to go through security and get back on the bus. And then they take us to the plane. So we get out, go to security, get back on the bus. And I said to the captain, I'm like, oh, hey, hi, I'm Betty. That was probably a lot of turtle talk for this time of the morning. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but I was worried about the gerbil that was stuck to the window. So he heard gerbil instead of turtle and was picturing a gerbil stuck to the window. And then the funniest part about the Herman story is that day going home, now the whole crew has heard about Herman, and we had some turbulence, and we're all sort of sitting down, and this funny flight attendant took 2 plastic drink cups and stuck her hands to the wall and said, I'm Herman. Okay, so I tell this nice guy all about Herman, and now it's Easter weekend, just passed, and I get to my box, and I get an envelope that says, Happy Easter, and I was like, what is this? It didn't say who it was from. I open it up. I'm telling you, this. I was so touched, and maybe an odd duck, but this was one of the most thoughtful presents I've ever gotten. He made me a Herman. He got a turtle, and he bought little suction cups, and he glued the suction cups to the little turtle hands, and then he put it on a card. There was a picture of an airplane, and then there was a little turtle flying by, and it said, hey, Herman, what's up? I was so touched. I thought it was so sweet. So, of course, It actually works, too. I can stick it to any windows. So I had to go around the plane and take pictures of Herman in the cockpit and Herman stuck to the window. Herman in the air stuck to the window. And I was thinking, oh, I can have so much fun with this toy Herman. I'm going to take him places with me, small, and I can stick him to a whole bunch of things. And I thought, oh, I'm going to use that for the picture. I'll get a picture of Herman for the podcast. And I'll put some pictures of Herman on Instagram at Betty in the Sky because he's so cute. And I already took a picture of him. I just been leaving him in taking him with me. And I saw a Harley Davidson. So I stuck Herman on the Harley. So I think I'm going to take Herman with me and like stick him places. It'll be great photo ops. And so now, here I was basically the whole time making fun of the lady who had her pet turtle Herman with suction cup booties. And now I have my own pet turtle Herman that I'm taking with me. So we're both the two crazy ladies. I decided that it was so nice to get a present in my mailbox that flight attendant who was so kind as to pick up that cute little stuffed animal and to go take it home and wash it and to take the time to post it and seek out the 6-year-old owner and send it across the globe to her. I thought that was so sweet. And since she likes stuffed animals, I got her a stuffed sloth. And I'm going to put it in her box. I'm not going to say who it's from. I figure, you know, pay it forward. Well, that's about it for this episode of Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I hope you'll join me again next time so we can travel around the world together. And as a shout out to Mark Maron's WTF podcast, if you don't listen to it, you won't get it, but Herman lives! Bye.